Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Monday, the 26th of January, I was at home in my pajamas, like many of you, in the middle of our snowpocalypse, and I heard a knock at the door, and so I look out the window, and there's a delivery truck in front of my house, and I go and open the door, and there's the mailman standing there, and he hands me a box, and I thanked him and went inside, and I mean, it was freezing cold outside, and the roads were treacherous, and most of us stayed home, but this guy was out there. He was making his deliveries, and I was glad to get the box because it was certainly something I needed. It was some medical stuff that we needed for just medicine and things, and so it was a blessing. And this story really happened, but I want to use it as kind of the central illustration for our discussion today about our value, which is mission mobilized. There are three elements present in this story, and those three elements are the same as we see in the text that was just read to us by Amy Kane. And so let's begin by discussing first the first element, which is the delivery truck. The truck is necessary. It's necessary to make deliveries, and it's perfectly suited for that purpose. Remember the old, you know, Jeeps that they used to drive around to deliver the mail, and the driver was on the right-hand side of the Jeep, right? And it was ingenious because then he could just reach out and stuff the envelopes right into the mailboxes as he drove down the road. Also, if he needed to get out and deliver a package, he could get out on the grass side rather than stepping out into traffic and getting hit by an oncoming car. I mean, designed perfectly for the task at hand. In the case of missions, most of the time we need a delivery system. We need a delivery system to deliver the gospel, to carry the message to the people in need of hearing it, the people need to hear it in a way that they'll accept that message. In our story today, Peter stands before religious leaders because of what happened earlier. If you read back in the story, you realize that Peter and John, they were going into the temple to pray, and as they entered the temple through the beautiful gate, they found a man who was lame, and he was there, and he was begging at the temple gate, and they ended up healing him. And the Bible says that he went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple courts, and this really made the religious leaders angry. It really made them angry, and so as a result, they ended up arresting Peter and John, and they bring them before the tribunal, before the council, and they have to make a defense. And Peter says these words in this defense. He says, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, rulers and elders of the people, we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame. You see, that act of kindness was a delivery system for the gospel. It was the delivery truck that made the gospel the issue, the center. When we commit acts of kindness to people, they ask the question, why? I can't tell you how many times I've gone on a mission trip and people have said to me, why are you here? Why have you come to help us? Why have you come to do this program? Why have you come to help us build this building? Whatever it may be, it intrigues people and causes them to ask the question. And we have the opportunity then to tell them why we're there. It's a delivery system. It's an excuse. It's a means to open the hearts of people so that we can share the message to them. In the case of most missions, acts of kindness are a delivery truck to carry the good news to people in need. The message of the gospel needs to be demonstrated. It can't just be words. There are plenty of people who speak words in our society today. But those words need to be backed up with actions, demonstrated, wrapped in smiles, wrapped in touches, in help, in compassion. And that's what we do through our mission efforts here at the Kirk. Let me talk a little bit about our missions budget. We give 20% of the Kirk's annual budget in missions. Now, you who've been around here at the Kirk for a long time, you say, oh, yeah, of course we do. I mean, we've been doing that for a long time. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal. If you talk to other churches, if you were to look at the budgets of other churches around this city and around our denomination and certainly around the entire country, you would find that giving at this level to missions is not the rule. It is the exception. This is one of our distinguishing characteristics of who we are as a congregation. We give at an extraordinary level to the work of ministry in our city and around the world. We have many delivery trucks that we use to deliver the gospel. And we are involved in supporting different ministries financially and with volunteers to accomplish those ministries. When we think about our heart for the city, we call it For Tulsa. We are a church that is for Tulsa. The idea behind that is that we want our city, the people in our community, to know that this church loves them. And that we just don't say that. We back it up with demonstrations of God's love. And we do that by supporting different ministries that are doing incredible strategic work around the city to reach different sectors, different populations, different needs, and they become a delivery truck for the gospel. We are also doing it through ministries that we here at the church run ourselves as a means to reach people with the gospel. So I want to take a minute to just talk about some of these incredible ministries. Let me begin with Hope is Alive. Hope is Alive is a ministry specifically focused on people that are struggling with addictions, addiction to drug and alcohol. And it provides sober living homes for men and for women. We have several of them throughout our community here in Tulsa and around the state and even around the region. It's an incredible ministry. People stay living in this program for a year and a half to 2 years. That's a long time. And they do it for that long of a time so that they can disciple them in their walk with Jesus Christ and help them to figure out how to live a life that's not dependent on alcohol and drugs. It's an amazing ministry and an amazing program. Another aspect of that ministry is support groups for the families of these people called Finding Hope. And we have one of those groups that meets here at our church. And Jim and Jarrah Holder are the leaders of that ministry. And we have people come here every week that are struggling with these issues in their family, and they're being ministered to here. And they hear about the love of Jesus Christ and the support of God's people for them in the midst of their struggle. It's awesome. Mend Medical Services. This ministry... We support this ministry because we believe with all of our hearts that we don't want children to die in abortion. We think that children that are conceived should be born and live their lives and become the people that God desires them to be. And so we support this ministry that connects with women who are considering abortion and provides for them medical services for free and helps them to see and to figure out what that's all about and to make a decision whether they want to have this baby or not, if they want to give them up for adoption or not, or if they want to give birth to this baby and keep him or her. And if they decide to keep that child, then Mend walks with them for a period of 2 years, providing resources and counseling and discipleship, sharing with them the truth of Jesus Christ. Awesome ministry. Ways for you to be involved in that. We have a heart for people who are homeless in our community. One of the ministries that we're involved with is called Family Promise. Family Promise deals with families that are on the verge of homelessness or have become homeless and need help to get back into their own place. So they provide temporary housing for them for 60 to 90 days. And during that time, they work together with a social worker. They get their documents in shape. They get their back bills paid off. And they help them to get into their own home again. Help them to get job counseling. Help them to move forward in their lives. Incredible ministry, touching the lives of family, making incredible differences, and delivering the gospel in the process. There's another ministry called Filling the Void, which takes a sandwich. I mean, a good sandwich like Chick-fil-A or Arby's, puts that with some other things in a brown paper bag, takes a bunch of people and takes them out and delivers them to people who are living on the streets, under the bridges, behind the Quick Trip, wherever they may be. Meets them in the midst of their need, maybe in their drunken stupor, maybe in all of their brokenness, and says, look, Jesus loves you. And we're concerned about you. And here's a meal. And let me pray for you. Simple. Today we're going to have an opportunity for you to go out with Filling the Void. There's a group of people from the Kirk after this service that are going to go and deliver those sandwiches. And you can be a part of that if you'd like. Just show up here and we'll get you hooked up. It's an amazing ministry. As we go on, we have work that we do in North Tulsa. We support a church called New City Church. And we support a school called Crossover Preparatory Academy. These are two ministries embedded in the North Tulsa community that are ministering light and hope to people who have lost their light and lost their hope in many cases. And they're making an incredible difference in that community. And so we are in partnership with them so that we can be supportive of their work and supportive of their programs and provide help in different ways that we can. We have Pathways. I don't have to tell you about Pathways. Pathways is a church that was a ministry that was born from this church. It meets here in our building, but soon will be moving out into its own building. They minister to families who have adults with special needs, providing a safe environment for them to learn and to grow and to have purpose and meaning in their lives and to be discipled in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Amazing ministry. We have a ministry called Kirk Carpenters. We have a group of guys and gals that go out every month and they build wheelchair ramps around the city. We have built literally hundreds of wheelchair ramps for people who are in wheelchairs and can't get in and out of their house. They're prisoners in their home because they don't have access to get in and out easily and safely from their homes. So we build them high quality wheelchair ramps. I was just looking at pictures of ones this morning that were built yesterday by our team that went out. Kirk Assist, we have a ministry beyond our budget that you give to. Many of you give to this ministry, and I would encourage all of us to make gifts to this ministry. It helps families who have fallen behind. They're in a place where they need to make a payment on their mortgage or their rent or their utilities, and they're in danger of cutoff, or maybe they've got some kind of a health concern or their car's broken down, and they need some help to just get over the hump so that they can keep going and not fall behind. Those are the places, those are the people we look for, the cases that we try to help. And in the process, we have the opportunity to share the gospel and to connect with these people. It's amazing. We are able to extend this as a resource, not only to people in our church, but also to people in our community that are connected with our partner ministries, and also with the schools that we are in network with, public schools. And so we're able to help families that they're aware of. Amazing stuff. Amazing opportunities. These ministries are the delivery trucks that provide acts of kindness to open the hearts of those who need Jesus. One time, I was talking with a friend of mine. His name is Daniel Batchelder, and he was the founder of a ministry called Morningstar Development that worked exclusively in Afghanistan, the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. And I asked him one time, I said, Daniel, how in the world do you share the gospel in the most difficult place in the world to share the gospel? How do you open the door? How do you communicate the gospel to people in an Islamic Republic like Afghanistan? And he says, here's how you do it. You build little tiny bridges through acts of kindness. And when you build enough bridges, then you send in the trucks of the gospel. He said, that's the way you do it. And that's what we did. That's what we've done with that ministry for many, many years. We were involved with that, doing work inside of Afghanistan, seeing people's lives transformed. The delivery truck. The second element of this illustration is the delivered package. The package. The focus is not the truck. The focus is the package being delivered. I was watching a clip the other day of the movie Castaway. Remember Tom Hanks? He works for FedEx. He's flying over the ocean, and his plane blows up, and he falls into the ocean, and he finds himself on a desert island, and he's sitting there on the island alone, and all these packages are washing up on shore, right? He starts opening them up. He finds Wilson, the whole bit. He opens up all the packages, but one package he keeps, and he doesn't open up. Why? Because his very purpose was delivering packages. That's why he was in the airplane in the first place. And so that was his mission, was to deliver that package, that sense of purpose. Our mission, we are mission mobilized, and our mission is to deliver the package. Look at what Peter said. Because he leverages acts of kindness to proclaim the truth about the good news. He says, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Here Peter delivers for us a summary of the gospel. In one little package. Let me unpack it for you. It starts out by saying, this Jesus Christ whom you crucified. Well, that's a little rough, especially when people are about to throw you into prison or kill you. But he calls them out and he says, you bear the guilt and the shame of the death of Jesus because he died for you. You're the one who deserves to be on that cross, not him, and he died for you. And you crucified him. Sounds like bad news, doesn't it? And it is the bad news. The bad news is that we bear the shame of our own sinfulness and of our own guilt. People need to understand the bad news, or they'll never understand the need for a Savior. Why do you need to be saved if you don't understand that you are damned to destruction because of your own sin? And so Peter points that out, but then he says, don't worry, because there is a cornerstone. You see, Jesus is that piece of the puzzle that you've been missing. He's the thing that you've been longing for. He's that stone in your foundation when everything around you is moving sand. And your life has been just wobbling all over the place. And Jesus is that foundation for your life that you've been needing, that you've been looking for. That's who Jesus is. He is the answer to your problem. And then he says, but there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which you must be saved. There is no other religion that will bring you to salvation. There is no other way for you to be free from the guilt and the shame of our sinfulness than the death and the blood and the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the message. That's the package. That's the gospel. That's what we have been given. We are bearers of that message. And Peter uses this delivery system of the healing of this lame man, this act of kindness, in order to have the opportunity to deliver the message of the gospel. That package must be delivered. The problem is, we get caught up in the driving of the truck and we don't deliver the box. You know, we're driving around town in the truck and we're waving at people and we're having fun and the radio on, but we never stop at the house and deliver the package. You understand what I'm saying? Many times we get so involved in these acts of compassion and kindness. but that we never close the deal. We never carry out the mission. And the mission is to deliver the package. Peter delivered in a simple statement. 3 points. Boom, 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 boom. But he delivered the package. We must get to that point in our relationships. If we're going to actually carry out the mission that God has given us, we have to deliver on the gospel, not just help people's physical needs. Because let's face it, if we help people's physical needs, we're only giving them temporary help, right? Because tomorrow they're going to be hungry again. Tomorrow they're going to be in financial crisis again. Tomorrow they're going to be in need of something, some other counseling, some other thing again. What they really need is Jesus in their lives to transform them. Amen? That's what they need. And we are reluctant to get to that point, to deliver the package. I understand. I understand. Our world tells us, keep your beliefs to yourself. Don't you dare tell someone else what they need to believe. We are conditioned to keep our mouths shut when it comes to our spiritual beliefs. That's what this world, that's what our society tells us. And it's difficult to cross that barrier because everything in us tells us, don't cross that line. Don't disrespect someone else's right to believe what they want to believe. But we have been called to persuade people of the truth that God has given us, to deliver the package of that truth to others. Acts of kindness are a tool. They meet a temporary need. But the true need of humanity is Jesus Christ. Don't allow our mission just be to be compassion and kindness. It must go beyond that. Matthew 28, Jesus gives us a commission. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What a great opportunity to have baptism here today, right? Baptizing them. This is what God has called us to share the gospel with other people, to go to all nations and draw people to himself, bring them into the family of God, disciple them, help them to understand everything that Jesus commanded us to do and how we are to live. Acts 1:8 says, and you will be my witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We support missionaries and ministries all over the world, literally all over the world, doing just that, delivering the package. I want to highlight some of them to you. We support a ministry in North Africa. They've set up a business platform where they invite young professionals to come and have a place to work. They work remotely. They don't have room in their homes. They don't have access to internet. They don't have air conditioning. And so they invite them to come and work in this place and pay a nominal fee to be able to work there. But in the process, they now have contact with these young, professional Muslim people to share the gospel with them, build relationships with them. It's ingenious. We have a ministry called Center Will that works in East Africa. And this ministry focuses on children that have been thrown away. Children that are living on the streets, children that are addicted to drugs, children that are slated to die on the streets of abuse, of violence, of addiction, of gangs, whatever it may be. They rescue these children, they bring them in and give them a life, give them education, give them a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then help them to become the people that God has desired them to be. Amazing picture of the gospel. And they do the same thing with widows. Widows are thrown away in African society. And they organize them into groups and they teach them and they disciple them and they care for them and they build houses for them. It's amazing. If you want to go and see what that ministry is all about, we have an information meeting. It's going to happen right after this service. My wife and I later are going to lead the team that's going to Africa this year, to Kenya. Come with us. Check it out. We'll talk. Indonesia, we have a woman from our church that is a linguist, and she works in Indonesia translating the Bible into languages of people that have never heard the gospel and never heard the name of Jesus, and now they are going to have the opportunity to hear his name in their own heart language. Amazing. Amazing work. We have people working in North Macedonia among Albanian-speaking Muslims who have never had a church in their community. They have no sustained place where the people of God gather and meet. There is no church among them. And so we have been involved for the last 10 years as a church and as a presbytery building that vision to see the kingdom of God come to those people and that place. Latin America. We are involved in Latin America. We have a team you'll hear about next week. You heard Kevin and Amy talk about it today. Going to Costa Rica. We have missionaries that we support there. We have people working in Mexico. We have people working in Peru. People working in Uruguay. People working in Brazil. Many of them are not necessarily ministering to the poor. What they're doing is they're working with the Christians that have been there, where the church has now come to a level of maturity, and they're mobilizing them to become missionaries in the rest of the world, especially among Muslim peoples. Latin Americans are perfect for ministry among Muslims. They don't carry the cultural baggage that we have. They work for cheaper than we work. They're able to do much more. When people say, well, you're a dirty American, they say, no, I'm not. I'm from Costa Rica. What are you kidding me? We understand what it's like to be in the developing world. Opens doors. It's amazing. So we have that kind of work that's going on. Literacy and evangelism. If you've been around the Kirk and you haven't heard about literacy and evangelism, shame on you. Right? We have been involved with this ministry for, well, I guess, since the church was founded. And it's a strategic ministry that's headquartered here in our city. And what they do is teach people to read, and they do it by teaching them through the Bible and then share the gospel with them while they're learning to read. It's genius. And so they go right alongside of church planting movements and Bible translation movements to reach people that have never heard the gospel. So the Bible is translated. They develop a reading primer. They teach them how to read and share the gospel with them and plant the church. It's an incredible intermediate step. God has called us to plant a church among Latino immigrants here in Tulsa. And I could take from now until the Super Bowl starts telling you stories about all that God is doing in the lives of people as they're coming to know Jesus, as they're growing in their faith, as they demonstrate an incredible hunger to read the Word of God and to know Jesus Christ personally. Amazing things are happening. Amazing things are happening. The package is being delivered. And that's what's important. That is our mission. The final part, final element of this little illustration is the delivery driver, right? We don't want to forget the delivery driver. The religious leaders were confounded by Peter and John because they said that they were untrained and ordinary people. Look at what it says in the scripture. They saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled and ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, a lot of times we read the gospel, we think, well, Jesus, you know, Jesus is like a superstar. If there ever is a superstar, it's Jesus, right? So when he does miracles and he says wonderful things and he suffers and he does all these different things, we go, well, you know, I mean, after all, he is God, right? Like, he's got a distinct advantage over us. And it's easy to dismiss that as an example. Peter and John were fishermen. They were literally kind of nobodies. The best they had was a Sunday school education in spiritual things. Saturday school. That's all they had. But they had been with Jesus. And that's what made the difference. They were walking with Jesus for the last 3 years, and that is what changed their lives. you've been with Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've been trained. The gospel is spread. The package is delivered by ordinary people. That's the way God wants it. That's the way it works. You don't need specialized training to drive a delivery truck of the gospel. No offense to mail carriers. But it ain't rocket science. You drive the truck, you drop off the package, you get back in the truck and go to the next house. It ain't that hard. And God has given us a simple task. He's placed the package within us. He's given us the gospel. We have the testimony of our own lives to share. And all we have to do is figure out a creative way to link that up with the needs of people and deliver it. And deliver it to them. Take it to them so that they can be changed, so that they can be transformed, so that they can enjoy what we enjoy. It's not about you. And it's not about me. When the delivery driver showed up at my house in the snowstorm, I don't remember his face. I just remember he gave me the package. And that's the way it should be with the gospel. It's not about us. People don't need to remember our face. They're not thinking about us. They're thinking about the package. Think about their own need and what you have to give them, which is essential for their hope of salvation for the rest of their lives. That's what they need, right? That's what God has us to do. Some people ask, why do we do short-term mission trips? Why do we do it? I mean, it seems inefficient. Why do we spend so much money to send people overseas? Wouldn't it be better just to give that money to people, poor people around the world, give it to ministries that are there long-term? And the answer is, yeah, if we're only worried about the project. But you see, God has designed the gospel to be spread by ordinary, unschooled people. And so it's our job as a church to mobilize each one of you to carry the gospel. We send out somewhere between 70 and 150 people into mission every year, between adults and students. It's an amazing thing. You should be one of those people if you haven't been. And if you have been, be again. Because God does amazing things in your life. Through it. It's an important part of your discipleship. God wants you to participate in his call to reach the nations. And he wants to mobilize each one of us. As Kevin said, he said, no pressure. I'm the opposite. I'll put a little pressure on you. All right? I do a pretty good impersonation of God's voice. Go. Okay? God is calling you to go. It's a matter of when. It's a matter of where. But God wants us to move. He wants us to go. Our value is mission mobilized because God wants us to move. He doesn't just want your money. He wants you. When we say we're mission mobilized, it means it's demonstrated by lives compelled to go and share the love of Christ locally and globally. How is God compelling you to go? Where and when is he compelling you to go? We ask this question to find out if we're living this value out. And we all should have an answer to this question. Where am I going to participate in God's mission? Where am I going to participate in God's mission? We just commissioned a group of people, medical personnel, who are going to Costa Rica on Saturday. They know where they're going. Some people are going to sign up and go this summer. They know where they're going. Some of you just need to go to your neighbor. God's been speaking to your heart to talk to your neighbor about Jesus and invite him to church. That's where you're going. Are you doing it? Are you participating in the call of God on your life to go? That's what it means to be mission mobilized. It doesn't have to be around the world. It's good to be around the world. Doesn't have to be with homeless, but you could do that today. But God is calling us to do it, to go, to carry the package that he's loaded in our heart and carry it to other people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the transformation that you have brought in our lives. But Lord, we are also aware that you've called us to go, to speak to other nations, to other people, even if they're just across the street, to share the love of Jesus Christ, to deliver the package that you've laid on our hearts, the package of the gospel, the simple message that Jesus loves us, he's forgiven us, and he's the only way to salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.